Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:33 in Edmonton. We have a little bit of breaking news for you involving the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club. And our timing couldn't be any better since our next guest is Michael Rupp. He is our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Mike's on to talk a bit about the Netflix documentary about the Danbury Trashers, Crime and Penalties Untold. That is the name of the doc. But the Oilers have just announced that they're going to bring in Colton Cheever to a professional on a PTO. He spent last season with the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's the team that Michael Rupp covers on top of his work with the NHL Network. And I'm going to date myself here, but Colton's uncle, Todd Cheever, I actually broadcast his games when I was first starting my broadcasting career way back in 1989-90 when he was playing for Willie Desjardins and the Calgary Dinos. So, yeah, it's been a while. All right, without further ado, we bring back to the show from the NHL Network, Pittsburgh Penguins broadcast as well, Michael Rupp. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to talking hockey with you.
All right. Well, let's we'll get to the doc in a second because it's for me it was fascinating and hilarious, which is I think you know entertaining. Just tell me about. By the way, was when Todd Cheever played for the U of C? It was pronounced Cheever. What pronunciation did you guys go with Colton last year? Was it Skeever, Skeever? What'd you guys end up calling the guy?
I said Sevier, Colton Sevier.
Okay.
I don't know what the actual pronunciation is, but yeah. I mean, I guess you want that name. You want to be the savior, right? If you maybe go that route with it, but you know, I like this ad. I like this. It's a depth ad. I think this is a player that the Penguins team was really banged up last year, yeah. And I don't think Mike Sullivan got enough attention for to be in the a little higher, and I think in the Coach of the Year polls because of the job he did. Because these depth players had to get put in positions, and we saw Freddie Gaudreau do really well in that position. Colton Sevier was another one that I thought stepped his game up and showed that he could be a pro's pro. And I think those are big things to have game managers and the ability to do what's right for the team at any given moment of the game. And that's what he brings. So I think it's a good ad for the Oilers.
All right. Did he play exclusively on the wing? Did he get any time at center? Because he, you know, he was when he came up through junior, he was both a center and a winger. I recall him mostly being on the wing. What was the split there?
Yeah, I mean, so they had the issues last year again with the injuries where guys were moving around, and he was one that was used briefly at center, but would kind of most of the time be on the wing. But there was always that knowledge of that. Okay, well, we've got him, and we could put him in that center ice position if need be. So I think that's something that he's given roster flexibility last year. And I think he'll continue that.
Well, and I'm just going to pull up his. Well, it's an interesting situation. You know what we're going to do? We're going to circle back to it because what I want to talk about why we originally booked you. You've been involved, and I know you've done lots of media availabilities on this. And NHL Network analyst Mike Rupp joining us here in Oilers Now. A guy, by the way, the Oilers tried to sign. We've discussed that before. So you're involved. Your involvement with the Danbury Trashers, the Untold. It's on Netflix. Crime and Penalties. The Galante ownership of the team. Jimmy Galante, an organized crime figure. That was involved in refuse collection, which was like every joke about guys in organized crime back in the 70s and 80s when late night hosts. The doc's out. Just give us a bit of an education. What was your experience like being part of that team during the 04-05 lockout?
Oh, man, it was they did a great job, Netflix did, of capturing a lot of the stuff, and I can tell you this much, and I know from speaking to the producers of the documentary with Netflix, they had to cut out a lot, and they cut out probably 30-40 minutes worth of stuff that they really wanted in there. So there's even more stories beyond that, but it's an amazing documentary, and it just basically what ends up happening is without giving too much away, you got a kid who was playing hockey in his high school years. He fell in love with the game. He had an injury that put him out of playing hockey anymore, and it just happens his dad was the biggest trash collector in on the East Coast, basically, and he bought his son, a 17-year-old kid, a hockey team, and this was in the United Hockey League, and he said, "You're going to be the GM and you're going to be the president," and you know, they bought this team, and the documentary gets into it. There were some, I guess, mob ties that were involved as far as this trash industry, and that's they wanted their hockey team to play the same way, to be feared. And so, long story short, it happened during the lockout of 2004-05 season, whatever that was, for the NHL, and there was a trickle-down effect, and this 17-year-old kid went out and started recruiting players to play on this team. And some of the players, for the fans that love fighting and the history of fighting in the game, there's some real underground legends that filtered through there and played for these guys. And it really did become like the Broad Street Bullies back in the day, and or at least the stories I heard of it back in the 70s. So I think it's something that was fantastically put together. Get you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Laughing, the craziness is through the roof, and yeah, it's something that it almost shocks you that actually really happened.
All right, you're being polite. When they reached out to you and discussed coming aboard and joining their team, cash is king, right?
Okay, so you know that's part of it too. So the things that what ends up happening is. You know, the owner gets in trouble with stuff off the ice. And, you know, as far as the way the approach has been on the ice, they weren't exactly following the rules of the United Hockey League as far as the salary cap for players. So anyways, I end up finding out, I don't know any of this stuff's going on. I get a call from Chris and Peter Ferraro, if you remember the Twins.
Sure.
Ferraro Twins. I played with Chris in Albany in the American League. And Peter actually reaches out to me and he goes, you know, I know that the season was canceled in the NHL, and there's a guy in Danbury. He wants to win this, win a championship in his league. He's a new owner, and he wants to try to get some NHL players. So I say, okay, you know, I talk to him, and at the time, my agent was Scott Norton, and Scott, I talked to Jimmy Galante, the dad, the owner, and he says, all right, so, you know, how are we going to, you want to figure out the rest of the details? I said, well, I have an agent, so you can talk to him. I'm excited to come in there and get moving and play some hockey this year. My agent calls me after the conversation with Jimmy Galante and says, where'd you find this guy? And I'm like, oh, I mean, I didn't find him. I guess they got an opportunity to play, so I reached out, or he reached out to me. And he goes, I think he wants to pay you cash. And I go, what do you mean? He wants to pay me cash. And he goes, like I literally think he wants to give you a bag of cash. And of course I'm like, wait, what? So that was kind of the first thing that went off. And when I got there and you started playing and you start hearing these stories, you start realizing really, like, oh my gosh, this is like a movie. This is Slapshot meeting The Sopranos. It really is.
So you guys knew, the players knew, that Galante was, and was it the Genovese crime family that he was connected to? I believe that's who it was.
I think as players, so the one thing that was, I was there for, I only had to play 10 games of the regular season to get on the playoff roster.
Right.
And once the NHL season was canceled, I mean, there wasn't much of a season left. It's probably 25 games. I had to make 10 of them. So what ended up happening, I'd live in Erie, Pennsylvania, I'd skate with the Erie Otters of the OHL, and I'd skate with them. And I would just fly in every other weekend and play some games. So I don't really know exactly what's going on, but when I went in and we went out and we'd have a beer we'd have a beer with the boys, and guys would just be exchanging stories. I'm like, there's no way this is going on. So once the playoffs started, I was staying there every day in the playoffs, right? And
yep.
So I was there for a few weeks, and I get there, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this stuff's actually going on. And man, there's stuff from recruiting with John Nasty Morasty with recruiting. I don't know if this name rings a bell to you, but Chad Wagner, a Western boy. I heard the recruitment late on the bus and asking this guy to come out of retirement from 4 or 5 years to play in one game and run around against Barry Melrose's Adirondack team. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm not there that weekend. A brawl happens, and you've got this Chad Wagner who gets tossed. He comes back on the ice and goes in the bench and grabs Mark Pavin of the Adirondack, the coach, and starts trying to fight him. He gets banned for life. I mean, these are normal days as a Danbury Trasher, and it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Chad Wagner played in the Alberta Junior League with Lloyd. He was a big 6'5", tough guy. We've already talked about I had Nasty Morasty on my old show, Mike, during that 2004-05 lockout season, partially because of the fights.
Really?
Yeah, partially because of the fights in the Quebec Senior League with Steve Bossé. I was told, I don't mean to be mean here, but I was told by Western Hockey League players that played with and against Nasty Morasty that, how do I politely say this, he might have been the most limited player they'd ever seen. like they're like, Stoff, this guy couldn't play a lick, but he was tough. And after, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, after the U-Haul, Scott Housen, who's on the show tomorrow, by the way, the commissioner of the American Hockey League, Scott signed him for 3 years, had him playing for Columbus's American Hockey League affiliate for a number of years. But he was a tough guy, wasn't he? Nasty Morasty.
Let that just sink into the listeners that he was one of the most limited players as far as skill, but he made it, and he was property of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's in Syracuse, and that just shows you how tough, you know, like if you're not, you can't be kind of tough and have that limited skill. You got to be really tough, and he was. I've never seen a guy take a punch. I mean, I would honestly say, and this is tough, and I hate doing this because I always feel like people take it as a disrespect to different people, but from what I saw from that guy, I just don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he could hang in there with some of these tough guys back in the day. I think it totally, this guy had his head like Ty Domi. Like I think he would be, him and Ty Domi would be a great fight, and they're both their heyday. The difference is, you know, Ty can play. That's why he's in the NHL. And Nasty Morassi, wow, what a name and what a character. He's tough as nails.
Yeah, he fought Steve McIntyre in the American. Like, Steve freaking McIntyre, 6 foot six, 245, and he was the guy starting the fight. Like, you know, Mac finally eventually got engaged. Hey, there's an Edmonton connection, a real good lower minor pro. Mike Bayrak was on that team. He was one of the scoring leaders. Do you recall him?
Yeah, he was a goal scorer, sniper. He was great. That's part of it, too, that kind of gets lost in the shuffle here, is that this team, there's so many stories and the craziness and the unlawfulness of the way the team was on the ice and how tough. And go look at the roster, and Frank the Animal Bialowis was on the team. I mean, there's just a
Stephen Pete was on the team. Stephen Pete at one time. Yeah,
Stephen Pete, Garrett Burnett. I mean, there's a lot of heavy. They came to me. Jimmy Galante came to me during the season when I was called up there, and he goes, "Michael, what do you think of Donald Brashear?" I go, "What do you mean? What do I think of him? It's Donald Brashear." And he goes, "Why do you think he'd fit in here?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, yeah, he'd be great. He's an NHL player. He's tough as nails. Toughest guy in the NHL right now." And he's like. He's like, "All right, I'm trying to figure a few things out." I'm like, "Jimmy," I'm like, "in all due respect, like, I don't know if we need to get tougher. Like, bring him in, but, you know, like, it'd be fun to have him in here, but, like, I don't know. I mean, don't sweat it too much. I think we're good in that department." But, it was, there was names that were, some of the names on that roster, but some of it gets lost in the shuffle. It's like, you know, with even Brent Gretzky, you're talking about a heck of a player. Like, we had some really good goal scorers. We had some point getters. This wasn't a fluke that this team went on a roll. It was built, and that's part of the mystique of the story, is this 17-year-old kid didn't just build a WWE-type roster. He put an actually good roster together, skill-wise, too, and the team came really close to winning a championship.
Well, they had back-to-back years under the Galante ownership where they won about 45 games a year in the U-Haul, in the UHL. We're joined by longtime NHL player Michael Rupp, won a Stanley Cup with New Jersey. Did you score the game clinching goal in the 2003 final?
Yeah, I was. Our line was on fire that night. I got to give all the credit to Jeff Friesen and Jamie Langbrugger. They were big.
And there you go. And turned down a contract offer from the Edmonton Oilers that I've never bugged you about over the last decade plus in the early 2010s. So here's part of the narrative that I think you gather when you watch the documentary. Again, it's on Netflix right now. It's Untold, Crime and Penalties, the story of the Danbury Trashers. The reality is the Galantes, in spite of the fact that there was direct connection with Jimmy Galante and organized crime, they were kind of beloved in Connecticut, weren't they? Like, and I don't know if it's the anti-hero thing, Mike, but the bottom line is these guys were really popular guys.
I think that's part of it, too, when you watch this. And to be honest, not to tip away too much, but Jimmy was unreachable for a while, I guess you could say. And I've reconnected with him after this. And I'll tell you one thing. What I think they really encaptured in this documentary is that I think you're supposed to, you know, it's always great when you watch those movies and you see those things where it's like, I'm supposed to not like that guy, right? Like, he's supposed to stand for things that I'm against. But there's something endearing about him. It's almost like he's like a vigilante in some weird way where it's like you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? And Jimmy Galante was building wings of the hospital in Danbury, Connecticut, and children's wing. He had gymnasiums and hockey rinks named after him. I mean, what he did in that community, they loved him. And me playing for him, that guy treated me and everybody like absolute gold. I got nothing but good things to say about him. So it's just funny when you're watching that, because I think that people I've talked to that didn't know the situation are like, wow, I could see why everybody loved that guy. And then it's almost like, wait, hold on a second. He did a lot of bad things, like, but you don't get that. You see the side that he brought together, and this team was close-knit. And it was the first time in a long time that we saw a team like that. It might be the last time.
It's ironic because we're getting people texting us, and they're saying, Bob, you need to get somebody on the show to talk about the Horse Lake Thunder during that 04-05 NHL lockdown. Theo and Gino Ojic got looked after when they went after the Senior Men's Cup, and I went into Lloydminster that year. Jason Greger and myself both ended up going. We were at the same, I was doing the drive at that time, and we did our shows out of there. It was a big story, and not surprisingly, I'm sure there was a little bit of money moving there as well. Michael Rupp joining us right now. Mike, we'd be remiss in your work on the NHL Network. Just a quick rip here on Sidney Crosby of Jenny Malkin. Maybe a little bit of a challenge for the Penguins out of the gate this year.
Yeah, they always seem to handle that well for some reason. They've been dealing with injuries like a lot of teams, but they've been really hard-pressed with that over the last number of years, and they've always seemed to survive. I'm a little more nervous this time. I think it's usually, you know, they're not without both those guys.
Right.
And they're going to be for a little bit here, depending on how Sidney Crosby, how fast he can get back. And I just think in that division, if you come out and you win one of your first five, I mean that could be your season. Like, we've seen that. I mean, it could be you're playing catch up hockey the rest of the year. And plus, I think that the team, in my opinion, kind of took a step backwards on paper, which doesn't mean anything, but right now that's all we got to go off of. I think they took a step backwards this offseason. And so I'm really interested to see how some of these ads here that Ron Hextall's made, how it's going to help. You know, they have belief in those players there, and I can't wait to see it, because right now it's that division's really wide open. And I don't know if you can say the Penguins have the current streak of playoff appearances in the NHL by far. I want to say it's like 16, 17 straight seasons. I don't know. That might be a challenge this year.
The Chiseler out of Las Vegas is texting me, Bob, Michael Rupp is a beauty. And Cactus Jack is texting the show to say, you have to have Michael Rupp on again. Again, the documentary on the Danbury Crashers, Untold Crime and Penalties, available on Netflix. A legend. And boy, they built you up when they introduced you as a star out of the NHL.
Hey, Bob, last thing I'll leave you with. I'm watching that thing, and I watched just like everybody else. The day it came out, like, I didn't get a preview of it or anything. And they're doing this buildup of, we need a goal scorer. Give me a blank and goal scorer was the thing. And I'm like, oh, man, I wonder who they're trying to get. I'm thinking in my head, and then I see my name come across. And, like, that's the first time people have referred me as being the goal scorer. And my phone started blowing up from whether it's teammates of the past or current guys playing. They're just dying laughing, being like, wait a second, you're the first person that came to their mind.
Hey, you scored
out all right.
You played 609 games in the NHL and scored 54 more goals than I did. So I tip my hat to you. Great having you on the show again. I hope we get a chance to see each other if we're back traveling again and if we're traveling in the U.S. But we'll be reaching out again, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, Bob. Anytime.
All right. That is Michael Rupp from the NHL Network. He is our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Stop for recommendation. Mediterranean Chicken, Brendan Escott recommendation is the Tex. This day in Oilers history for New West Travel, Dennis and Jason Laliberti, permitting travel-wise, we're going to be doing potentially two trips this year of New West Travel. On this date back in 1968, good guy, what do you got for us, Brendan Escott?
Former Oilers draft pick, current TV color analyst for the Minnesota Wild, Mike Greenlay, born down in Calgary. He was selected 189th overall in 1986. He played in just two NHL games with the team in 89-90. He was, of course, stuck behind two rather prolific Oilers netminders during that time.
Yeah, Grant Fuhr and Bill Ranford. A little bit tough to beat those guys out. He was a goaltender in the 89 Memorial Cup for the Saskatoon Blades. Former Saskatoon Blade Cam Moon will join us on tomorrow's show. I mentioned already the present CEO of the American Hockey League, former Columbus GM, former Edmonton Oilers assistant GM Scott Housen, and another beauty will join us on the show tomorrow. Washington Capitals color analyst Alan May. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports Night. What's he got shaking?
You're going to hear more from opening day of Oilers rookie camp. Also from Grant Fedorik from Leading Edge Physiotherapy talking about Dylan Holloway's injury. Jack Michaels will join the show, and so will a host of the NHL on Sportsnet, Jeff Merrick.
Okay, and special thanks to Reed today. It was good seeing him down at Rogers Place back in sort of the Hall of Fame room, but he did a great job helping us get a lot of the audio that we used earlier in the show. Again, the central themes today, Colt Sheever coming in on a PTO. Has played 500 games in the National Hockey League. He's a right shot, can play both wing positions, a little bit at center as well. And Dylan Holloway getting wrist surgery yesterday, out minimum 3 months. Up next, the Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge today from 2 to 3. 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. It's Jalen Nye with 6:30 Chad Afternoon. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.